Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy joins us now. Congressman, welcome back. How have you been?
Hey, I just got in at 1 a.m. last night after yet another interesting series of votes, but I'm good. How are you?
Good. You voted in favor of the package that the president negotiated with the speaker?
Yes, sir, I did.
Not everybody did. In fact, it was bipartisan dissent, even in the Illinois congregation.
Yeah, but there were more than 300 votes. Nothing gets that many votes these days in Congress, which shows kind of I think almost a three-quarters vote in favor of it, which is pretty darn good and strong.
What did you not like? What did you like about the package the president cut?
Well, it avoids economic catastrophe and default. That's a good thing. It suspends the debt ceiling situation until January 2025, protects Social Security, Medicare, the military, it enhances benefits for veterans. What I did not like is, it does, for instance, speed the permitting of this one strange pipeline from West Virginia because of one West Virginia senator's clout in the Senate, Joe Manchin. So it goes out of regular order in that regard. And we also, what I didn't like is we went to a crisis situation, which in my opinion, needlessly risks the full faith and credit of the U.S. dollar. We still have to get passage in the Senate, but I think this will pass.
I understand that you voted for it, so maybe I can't hold your feet to the fire as much as I might some others. But, you know, your very first point was, here's what's good. We avoid economic catastrophe. That bar is so low. It is so discouraging for all of us to see the Congress and maybe the president, but our elected leaders behaving this way. I hope you're hearing that, Congressman.
I am, and I think that that's a very fair point. I just think that, unfortunately, Washington seems to move from crisis situation to crisis situation, as opposed to, you know, thinking a little more proactively and trying to deal with these situations in a more in a more thoughtful fashion. I'm ranking member of this new special select committee with regard to the Chinese Communist Party, and we're trying to practice a different type of politics there, more bipartisan, more thoughtful. And I think that what has happened in the last 24 hours is instructive with what we should not be doing and what we should otherwise be doing on this committee.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And we've talked about that committee before, and I understand that you have been able to do that. But I'm going to go back to this deal that the president and the speaker cut, and maybe it'll get through the Senate. And yet that is still going to grow the debt. If we have a debt ceiling, but we're always going through it, going on 100 times now, over 90, it's not really a debt ceiling. Is there any way for the Congress to, in fact, reduce spending, spend not just less on the growth, but actually spend less than the previous year? How can you cut so that we start to whittle away at the 30-plus trillion?
I think that I'll give you 3 points on that. One, you're absolutely right. We have to deal with our debt and deficits long term to sustain our economy and to take care of our children and grandchildren. But that, in my opinion, requires bipartisan compromise on both the spending as well as the revenue side. On the spending side, one area that is not being touched at all, for instance, is spending with regard to prescription drugs. This is a huge and growing issue it's going to kill Medicare if we don't allow the government to fully negotiate the price of prescription drugs, for instance. Or on the revenue side, allowing the cap on Social Security, on earnings that are subject to Social Security taxes to rise. so that more people are fairly paying for Social Security is really important. Two other things that have to be dealt with in the context of debt and deficits. One is we've got to upgrade the skills of our workforce. We focus way too much on four-year college and university and not enough on making sure that everyone gets a high-quality post-secondary education. That means we have to upgrade our skilled and vocational education training in this country, something I've talked about with you before. And then finally, we have to deal with legal immigration. Our legal immigration system is totally messed up, John. That is the superpower, economic superpower that we have that can unleash untold wealth and prosperity for our country, not to mention put us on a better, much better fiscal path for the future. That's not being dealt with.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What does the my immigrant situation have to do with with what you just said? How do you get from there to there?
So right now we have 10 million job vacancies, 6 million unemployed people. So we have double the number of job vacancies compared to the number of unemployed people we have. We need younger workers. We need more talented, skilled workers to fill those positions. And we're not able to get them right now through the immigration system, which has traditionally done that in the past. You know, when we needed skilled people from Europe or from other countries to fill the positions that existed in our economy, in the innovation industry, or even the defense industrial base, we were able to source them, and we were able to keep them, and they were able to fill these positions and create new businesses and employment and new tax bases
for
our country.
Right.
And today we aren't doing that.
Right. So if we look at these millions of people, these hundreds of thousands of people that want to come into this country, if I may, I mean, all of us just on the back of an envelope say, okay, we need more workers. We need them to earn money and pay taxes. We got people lined up at the border that want to do that. Why can't we figure out a more streamlined way? Why does somebody have to wait 5 years? We need him tomorrow. What are we doing here?
We have people waiting decades, John, in the queue to legally immigrate to this country. They are waiting patiently. They are doing everything they can under our laws to come here legally. And yet we can't, because of political sclerosis and lack of momentum in Washington, D.C., bring them into America and allow them to do what countless generations before them have done. Unless and until we can do that, John, we are not going to realize the full potential of our greatness as a country. Also, in the competition with the Chinese Communist Party, this is one of those keys for us to outcompete China. The number of people who want to immigrate to China is negligible. The number of people who want to come to America is tremendous. We have the ability to attract, retain, and then take advantage of the incredible human resources of the globe, and we're not able to do that right now.
We're talking with Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy. Our Chicago take today on this debt crisis is sponsored by HaggertyAutoGroup.com. Let me ask you about a couple of other planks in this deal that the Congress and the President have cut. Do you agree with requiring people to get SNAP to have to work up to the age of 54?
I think that the issue here is not so much that we want them to work, but to address what's standing in the way of working. It's not that they lack the motivation to work, but what studies show is they lack the skills to work, John, and we have to give them some of that skills-based vocational education training and support so that they can then get employment. What I fear about just merely imposing work requirements without providing some of that skills-based education support is now you're going to have more people who are unskilled, unemployed, and hungry. And so that's kind of the underlying challenge,
I suppose. But somebody out there is saying to their radio right now, plenty of jobs don't require a lot of skill. And here's how you get skill. You start at the bottom and you work your way up. Just go get a damn job. What do you say to that?
I think that we can say that to these folks, but if we really want them to be productive citizens, which I think we want to do, we want to have that outcome.
Yeah.
Then I think merely haranguing them is not enough. We can do that, but I don't think it's going to get the desired outcome.
Do you agree with the clawback of unspent COVID funds?
Yeah, I think that's fine. And I think that can then also help to be redeployed in other areas that are necessary.
Yeah, makes sense to me. It's 10:58. You always make sense to me. Raja, thank you for visiting with us today. We always appreciate your time.
Hey, John, thanks for your attention to this. I really appreciate it.
Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, the Democrat from Illinois' 8th.